You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another week. You made it. You made it. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back. This is the Rational Revolution. You've got Mark Becker. I'm so honored to be your host this week and every week. Last week, if you want to tune in, it was a great episode. We had Ben Wickler, Chairman Ben Wickler. We discussed how many marbles we're playing for here in April in Wisconsin with the Supreme Court race. Hint, it is all of them. You know, they're saying that this election is the first test, a real test of Donald Trump's presidency. A big deal. If you want to hit that up, civicmedia.us, you can get all the episodes as a podcast or wherever you get your podcasts as well. But this week, because you made it, I've got a treat for you. This is a returning guest. He's a big deal. When I was chairman of the Brown County Republican Party, this guy was the chairman of the RNC. Yes, the big RNC. It was awesome to lead our community following in his example. This is the former RNC chairman, former lieutenant governor, the incomparable Michael Steele. Mr. Chairman, it's good to have you back.
Hey, Mark, it's good to be back with you, man, and thanks for the shout-out, man. It's a real pleasure. I hope you and everybody's doing well in the great state of Wisconsin.
We're hanging in there, man. We're gearing up here for another battle. I have to ask, before we get going, lieutenant governor, chairman of the RNC, talking head on MSNBC, other than husband and father, what's your favorite title that you've ever had?
Lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because it leveled up for me in such a real way the responsibility you have as an elected official when citizens entrust their vote to you. Mm. And you are not allowed to crap all over it. You are not allowed to be smug with it. You are not allowed to presume anything from it other than to do the job they ask you to do. And I learned a lot. I am not a big government Republican. I believe government needs to run efficiently to provide the maximum amount of services that it possibly can to create the necessary safety nets for citizens who are struggling to make their way up the ladder of success, to take care of our elderly and our young. And that's, you know, ties into my gospel experience as a former Augustinian seminarian. Mm. So I connected all those dots in my public service, man. And I tell you, it's one of the things that I find the most profoundly disappointing about this era of public leadership. It outright sucks.
It does
and
suck.
The men and women in office today should all be removed and replaced with people who actually give a damn about the communities they represent. I learned that as lieutenant governor because, man, when I swore that oath of office on the Bible, I was no longer the Republican lieutenant governor. I was lieutenant governor. So I could not sit in my office and go, well, you're from a blue county in Maryland. we're not going to, I'm going to make sure the governor doesn't give you any support.
Right.
But that's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that in public service. So that job for me was, oh man, I tell you, it was such a wonderful experience and it brought me really close to the people of Maryland in a way that public leadership really should, that we just don't see today.
You know, I've been an elected official locally here as well. And it's just, it's such a, I mean, election night. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's thrilling. And then all of a sudden there's this big wave that hits you. It's like, oh crap.
Like, right.
What a responsibility.
Yeah, you know, it really does. And I remember a friend of mine, election night, because we weren't expected to win in 2002. We were running against
sitting
lieutenant governor, who was Kathleen Kennedy Towson, who was the niece of Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
The son of the daughter of Bobby Kennedy. Yep. And we weren't supposed to win, and we did. And I just remember a friend turning to me and looking at me again. He's like, dude, don't screw this up. You know, it's like, okay, you're here now. Don't screw this up.
Right.
And I, you know, I wanted to honor those words. Yeah. And so I appreciate exactly what you were saying about election night, where you go, oh, crap.
Yeah. Right. So last time you were here was October 5th. Okay. The world has changed a little bit. So, like, I remember you said that you consider yourself a card carrying, hardcore conservative, black Catholic Republican because it pisses them off. Are you still there?
I still am. And they're still pissed. And that's
and they're pissed. Oh, yes. Yes.
Look, right? Yeah, right. Next year, Mark, I will be a member of this party for 50 years.
Oh, cool.
And I know for a fact Donald Trump is not a Republican, never has been.
No.
Because I knew the guy, worked years before he got into politics. So for me, it just boiled down to a core set of values and ideas drew me to the party that I still believe in. I still believe we are always have been, the party for individual liberties and freedoms, the party that respects the promise of this country. We were born out of that spirit. We broke away from the Whigs because we believed so profoundly in the individual liberties of slaves and wanted to set them free. And then expanding that in the civil rights era of the 50s and 60s, only to then walk away from it. And so, you know, I see this journey as being a little bit like a Motel 6 Republican. You know, someone's got to keep the lights on. But the reality of it is you want the lights out on that party. And that's fine. And that very well, some have said it has happened. Some light left on the porch. But I will hold that light on as long as I can for Republicans inside the party like myself, still profoundly believe in those values. And whether whether they reemerge inside the RNC or they emerge in something else, I hold on to them because I believe in them. And, you know, it's not that just the, oh, lower taxes and limited government crap. I mean, that's good. But it was always how we valued people and their rights under the Constitution, man. And what we're seeing now happening to federal workers, what we're seeing happening to families and communities that are being torn apart and disrupted the way they are. Look, I'm not going to sit and advocate for big government and all that. That's not the point. The point is that the men and women in our civil service, for example, are good people. Some of them are the sole breadwinners in their families. Right. And the fact that, you know, the party has a hand in this level of disruption, for what purpose? And that's not even made clear.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, I'm still in that fight, holding up, you know, holding the flag up and trying to keep, you know, putting new fresh light bulbs on the porch light, but they keep coming by and shooting them out, so we'll, you know, keep putting them up.
I want to hit on something that you said in that answer. You talked about limited government, and I remember, you know, when I was in the Republican Party, because I am no longer there, and it's really sad because I grew up that way, and I believe in limited government. I believe in, you know, government staying out of people's lives and all of that. But what we have now is a Republican Party that has all of our social security numbers, and we've got this Lex Luthor guy that has access to every single one of our, you know, federal government's systems. Like, what is more invasive? What is more intrusive? What is more big government than that? And they're okay with it. Like, what you said last time you were here, you said that the latecomers to the Republican Party, they need to sit the hell down and step aside because they have not earned the right to claim ground. What is going on? The big government, the Republican Party is now the party of big government.
It is. It is the party of big government, number one. It is the party of Putin. So the admonition of Ronald Reagan regarding the evil empire and the Soviet state is now come full circle, and we've embraced that. And because you got to keep in mind, Vladimir Putin, when Gorbachev was the president the Soviet head of the Soviet Union, he was still a KGB officer.
Yes.
And he's always been a KGB officer, and he longs for an imperial Russia. And he does. It's not even about the old Soviet state. He wants an imperial Russia,
yeah,
where it claims the land of the earth, and puts the Russian imprimatur on it. And Donald Trump buys into that. This Republican Party buys into that, and we saw that play out this week with the UN, which was just a symbolic vote of support for Ukraine, where we sided with the axis of evil,
right?
Belarus, Russia, et cetera. These folks make these claims, but at the core and the heart of it, Mark, are the men and women sitting in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who have acquiesced not only to this notion, but of big government republicanism, illiberal, global, relationships with the wrong side, if you will, crapping all over our partners, and so forth. They have given license to it. They've not spoken out against it. So, when you look at the transformation of the party, it has this infection, which instead of applying the appropriate medicine to combat the infection, which goes to what I was saying when I was last on your show, mm-hmm, they've allowed the infection to consume the body politic. And so now we're here, and there is no, there is no real easy way to heal from this because of the damage that is done to the body politic within the Republican Party, but now more broadly, that's impacting communities outside the party who we're now going to go back to and say, hey, could you vote for these candidates or that candidate, give us more power? That argument becomes hard to make. I think a lot of folks misjudge the outcome of the 24 election and thinking, oh, there's this now national embrace of Donald Trump and MAGA. There isn't, because if there were, the margins in the House would have been much bigger, and the margins in the Senate would have been bigger because they had the advantage on both those courts. So it does say to me that beneath the surface, there is this brewing idea of what is going to happen inside the Republican Party. And I know a lot of Republicans, former and current Republicans like myself, are looking for a way to level up that conversation. And I think you're starting to see it in some of these town halls where people are pushing back and going, what are you doing? You're supposed to be representing us, our interests. Why are you representing Elon Musk's interest?
We're talking to Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. On the other side, we're going to talk about that a little bit of what's the future of the GOP and where they're going to go. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. We've got, because it's his favorite title, former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. Former chairman of the RNC, your friend and mine, Michael Steele, welcome back. You were talking on the other side about Republicans are kind of poised to do something about it. What's the plan, man?
Well, there's a meeting in the back in the garage.
That's right. I know Kinzinger had something, didn't they?
That's what part of this is as well. This, there's got to be a resurgence of republicanism.
Yeah.
Okay. Within the party, if we want this party to survive, It's got to be voices that level up inside the party, which is why, again, why I stay. It's easy, man, to leave and to throw stones at it, right?
Yes.
To look back at it. And,
yes.
And as the Bible says, you know, shake the dust off of your sandal and keep moving.
Yes.
That's easy to do. And some people, you know, for their peace of mind and all of that, they need to do that. And that's fine. But they still want to be able to do a wrap around and figure out, okay, how do I reengage here? How do I fight? And I think part of it is, since our members that we've elected won't raise their voices, since they won't use the authority that we've given them to serve as a check on a rogue executive branch, which is consuming more and more of our rights, as you noted, you know, now into our financial and other data. Look, quick sidebar on that.
Yeah.
Y'all know that Elon Musk has all y'all stuff, right?
Right.
You know his little 19-year-old punks are creating back doors in all of these digital systems. So when his 180 days are up in this job, if in fact he does go away in 180 days, which I doubt he will, they still will have access to, you know, that information. The next either sane Republican administration or Democratic administration is going to have to redo our entire digital network because he will have his tentacles in that. And so we need to appreciate that all of this talk that we put out there about, you know, like you know, the big government, you know, intrusion into our lives.
Don't tread on me, you know, right?
That's exactly what they're doing. So the reality is there are folks that are looking for leaders to sort of stand up and press up against that and make that case. What my argument is, don't rely on that congressman you elected because they won't do it.
No.
They're either too afraid of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, they're too afraid of a primary, or they're too afraid to just risk the job they have in order to serve the way they should, and therefore they say nothing. So people need to collectively come together. Don't wait for your member to invite you to a town hall, because the word has already gone out in the Republican caucus, no more town hall.
Don't do it, yeah.
We don't want you to go out and create these town halls. Do not do town halls anymore. We don't need their permission to gather. We don't need their permission to have a town hall. Have the town hall, send the notice to your congressman or elected representative and tell him you want his behind there, or if he or she don't show up, now you know.
Right.
Now you know who they are, and you know what you need to do come next November. We have to take control of this. We have to, because the founders gave us the power, Mark.
Yeah.
They gave it to the people.
Right.
But the people are sitting back giving it away. I'm like, no, baby, keep it. Use it.
And how do you do that, though? Because in our district here in Northeast Wisconsin, we had a guy that, Tony Weed, he's terrible representative, and he won his primary, not because he was qualified. He like owned a few gas stations and stuff and then sold them for a butt pile of money. And then what happened was he beat in a primary a state senator who like was a National Guard officer and was the Speaker of the Assembly or leader of the Senate. I mean, he was accomplished and he was not crazy. There was a different one that ran who's incredibly crazy, and I'm not giving him any undue, you know, whatever. But the only reason why this guy won was because he had Trump endorsed on his yard sign. He was Trump endorsed Tony Weed, right? No one knew who the hell he was. How, and it's a very red district, how is he defeated?
Well, I mean, look, ask the question, how many registered Republicans are in the district?
There's a
and
lot.
And then what percentage of them actually voted?
Oh, true.
So I guarantee you, if there are just easy numbers, 1,000 Republicans in the district, and 200 of them show up and vote in the primary, you've got 200 out of 1,000 people deciding who the nominee of the party should be. You mean to tell me you can't tap into those other 800 people? And I guarantee you at least half of them are going to be sane. They're going to want good government. They're going to want they're going to be aligned with the values of you know, Eisenhower and Reagan and Bush. I mean, they're not going to be these far right loonies that are seeking the endorsement of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where it starts, is how you organize within each precinct, within each district, and how you then pull out that vote that you need in order to overcome that. Because, you know, a lot of Republicans complain about their nominees, but I ask them, did you vote in the primary? Well, I only vote in the general.
Well, right.
The primary is when you get your nominee. I mean, you're going up against the opposite party in a general election. So then you're stuck with a guy because you don't want to vote for the Democrat. You're stuck with this right-wing nut as your nominee. And so what do? You decide you're not going to vote. And that chips away at the interest the voters have in participating in the system, because they look at the people who are being nominated and go, I can't believe the party nominated. Well, did you have a hand in voting? And what are right-minded Republicans doing to organize that other 800 voters who don't vote in primaries, who don't participate, to understand and appreciate they have a greater hand in shaping the outcome of that primary than the 200?
Yeah, and this is what, you know, it's fascinating to hear you put on the old chairman hat. We're talking to Michael Steele, former RNC chair. This is why he rose the ranks, kids. Now, the question that I have too is I've been in a series within this Niskanen Center. They had like a meeting of the concerned where it was like Republicans, concerned Republicans, former Republicans, kind of talking about what to do, where to go. We got a minute here. Is there a third party option? Is that something that's in the works?
There are a number of things that are in that vein. We just had convened here in Washington, Principles First, where 1,200 Republicans and center right, center left, independents, and Democrats came together to sort of continue the broader national conversation. There are a number of other efforts, and one in particular that you're going to hear a lot about in the next few weeks, that is much more grassroots oriented, bottom up focused, connected to generating energy amongst Republicans who feel like, you know, there's nothing I can do. So stay tuned on that. In fact, I will make a point to ping you and get in your ear and maybe even come back on and talk about,
I love that,
this effort when it is put out there. But yes, the short answer is yes. There is a small cavalry that we're looking to grow that will again take the fight to MAGA.
Nice.
And the infection that it represents inside the Republican Party.
Count me in on that.
See where we go.
Yeah, count me in on that. We got one more segment here with Michael Steele. I want to talk about on the other side, is this stuff that's happening, is it legal? Can they even do it? So we're going to ask about that after the break here on the Rational Revolution. We got the one and only Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host. I'm going to do a complete cheap plug. I'm going to do two of them. The first cheap plug is if you guys want to do that, what you're talking about on the other end of the break about, you know, just trying to see where the national mood is for a potential third party. Wisconsin is one hell of a petri dish, my friend. So, you know, if you want to do something like that, that we're a great place to be. Oh, did I lose him?
Oh.
Oh, there you are. Wait, should we start over again? Okay. All right, sorry. We got Michael Steele here on the Rational Revolution. I'm going to do two cheap plugs. The first one I'm going to say is that we, you know, if you're going to do what you did what you talked about on the other side of the break, when, you know, there's an effort to potentially do a third party of concerned conservatives, Wisconsin is one hell of a petri dish. That'd be a great place to see how things would go.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's on the radar, and we got some boots on the ground in the great state, and I'm very familiar with Wisconsin. Spent a lot of money there back in 2010.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a petri dish in so many ways, and And really is one of those anchor states for how I think all of this reemerges on the Republican side going forward. So
yeah, and this is my second cheap plug. My brother lives in D.C. and he works for one of the administrations, and he's having a tough time because he's safe but not. And it goes, so I've been meaning to go out there. So I'm actually gonna hit you up, and we're gonna have a cup of coffee about stuff because I would love to.
Dude,
because you're in D.C. right?
Standing order.
Yeah, I'll hold you to that. All right. So now here's the thing. You said this week that Dan Bongino appointment was, quote, not a good day for America. And I was driving in to do the show, and this hit me. And it's like, this kind of feels like a little bit of the PTSD from COVID, where every single day it's something new. Every single day it's like, well, Dan Bongino, that wasn't a good day for America, but neither was Pete Hegseth, and neither was the vote against, vote for Russia against Ukraine. It's like, so every day is one of these, like, okay, this sucks. Well, so does that.
Right.
And it's this wall of sound that I've been calling it that, because that's what it is. Like, how, I don't even know how to put this into perspective. Do you?
Yeah, well, look, this is everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yes.
In a negative vein. It is slapdash throw. We're going to attack the infrastructure of the federal government from within. We know they're going to bring lawsuits. Fine, we don't care. We're reaching the tipping point where Donald Trump will openly defy a court order.
Yep.
With respect to releasing funds that he's supposed to release. But that we're approaching that step. And so all of this is designed to create a higher level of chaos, the confusion, the firing, and then trying to hire. Oops, my bad. Yeah. We didn't mean to fire you. The confusion around sending out a dumb email telling everybody list the five things that you did last week, like they're kindergartners,
and like someone's going to read 3 million emails
designed to do one thing. What was that?
I said that, and like someone's going to actually read 3 million emails.
Well, that's just it. You know, no one's going to read 3 emails, and no department head is going to read the 10,000 emails of the people that are in their agency, or even the 500 emails in their more immediate command and control center. So the reality of it is, it's all a ruse. But at that point, I mean, Steve Bannon made it very clear what this was about. Throw the crap up against the wall. They're going to go try to clean it off. And the moment they go to that part of the wall, throw it
on the other side.
That's what you see happening across the board. The legality of all of this is not even suspect. 90% of it isn't. You cannot randomly just fire civil service because they have civil service protections under the law. You cannot, not spend money that's been appropriated by the Congress, because it's been appropriated by the Congress. And the only thing the president has to do then is to put that money where the Congress told them to put it. So there are a lot of various parts of this that they're going up against to challenge and to act like, oh my gosh, we have the right to do this. No, you do not have the right to do this. You do not have the legal standing to do this, because this is a congressional function, not an executive function. But it goes to what I was saying before, Mark, about how the congressional leadership has ceded control to the executive. And now we have this uber powerful executive that is asserting command and control over the entire federal government. And we're going to see, I think, in short order, the court system come next. And that begins when they defy an order of the court. And the Supreme Court basically turns Marbury Madison on its head and says, yeah, you can do that.
Well, that's the question, too. He's doing all of these things. And it's interesting where, you know, like you said, the Congress is just, yeah, whatever, that's totally fine. You know, cutting USA, drunkenly cutting tens of thousands of jobs. And, you know, and then, rain, sleet, snow, hail can't stop the post office, but apparently a 78-year-old with a really bad spray tan could prove to be insurmountable. Like, That's okay.
And look, you know, it's just, I get it. The 2024 election was all about the price of eggs. Okay. Right. But it really wasn't. It was about a disconnect between the American people after 4 years of Joe Biden and the fact that the Democrats could not figure out how to connect the appropriate dots to what was going on with young men, was going on even among their core base with black women.
Yeah.
And so you have this, you know, 10 million, Mark, 10 million fewer people voted in 2024 than in 2020.
Yeah, right.
And that right there tells you exactly what, I mean, you're looking at a race in which Donald Trump won by less than what he won in the last election.
It was not a mandate.
Right? Well, he lost by in the last election. Right. And so that tells you the disconnect right there. And here we are. And now we've got to figure out how to reconnect voters to the experience that they're going through with the solutions that that the Democratic Party or some other individual can offer to sort of help begin to move off of this.
Yeah, like you said, it really does feel like that time in COVID where you're just waiting for the next horrible thing to happen. And I want to ask, because so many people that I talk to, there's so much noise. There's such a whirlwind, a tornado of stuff going around. And they keep talking about, you know, doom and gloom and all of this. And it's like, where does it end? And then I'm starting to read a book by Heather Cox Richardson, where she talked about how it took Germany less than 6 months to go from Germany with a democracy to Nazi Germany. Now, I know there was a lot going on. But when you have the party that stood for limited government, don't tread on me, stay out of my life. And then like we talked about this Lex Luthor having all of our Social Security numbers and giving his teenage brown shirt minions access to nearly every government database. In the immortal words of a Green Bay legend, Coach Lombardi, what the hell is going on out there? And like, where does it stop?
Stops. I get back to it. I think it stops with us. I just can't see the American people abdicating its hope in the country.
Yeah.
Yes, there are people who are frustrated, and there are people who are going through difficult times. But you know, that Lady Liberty stands in the New York Harbor for a reason. Mm. You know, we have a president who's just told the world we're going to put up a gold card for $5 million. Right. You can become a U.S. citizen. We only want rich people to come here. Well, right. I'm telling you, someone who writes a check can write a check for $5 million to come here is not going to go and cut your lawn.
Hell no, they're not.
They're not going to pick the food that you need for your table. They're not going to be a part of the service industry of your country, right? To help the country continue to grow and prosper so that they themselves can become the person one day who can write a $5 million check for something stupid like that, right?
Right.
That's what's always been the promise of this great country was, you know, you can come here and really achieve whatever it is you like to achieve, you want to achieve. And that promise of, you know, you're tired, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to be free, really speaks to the global community, which is why people still want to come to America despite everything else that goes on here from time to time.
You know,
but you now have someone who wants to put that all up for sale. It's all transactional for Donald Trump. And so you can get a pair of gold LeMay sneakers and a $5 million gold card, and you're set. And that, I don't think, is the American dream. And that's what the American people need to speak to.
It's
because tell me where your $5 million is for your family to come here.
It's really interesting how, you know, this is kind of a small group of people that were, you know, the really outspoken Republicans that, you know, still do believe in freedom and democracy and the values that we had. But it was really interesting on election night or election the day after the election. I was texting with Adam Kinzinger and, you know, I was, how you doing, buddy? And it was on inauguration morning. And he said, you know, this sucks, but I'm still hopeful. How are you with that?
This sucks, and I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I need to see this. I don't know if you caught my rant a couple of weeks on MSNBC where I just lost my mind.
Where you said, like, "What did you say? The to hell with Republicans?" Is that that one?
Yeah, that was part of it. Yeah,
yeah. I saw that.
You know, the first part of it was Simone had asked me, "Well, what should people do?" And I was like, "Show me you actually give a damn about the country.
Yes. Yeah.
Show me you actually care about what's happening right now." And that's what I'm waiting for. And then, you know, Alicia was like, Republicans are good. I say the hell with Republicans. They're the problem.
Yeah.
You can't look to them to solve this because they're not. They have no interest in solving this.
No.
And so it really does come back to how we look at this. When we see a neighbor who we know is a good gal, and she's been raising her family and trying to get her kids through school and, you know, dealing with hard times and good times just like everyone else in the neighborhood, suddenly now put out of work because some numbnut named Elon Musk decided that she's worthless as a civil servant and therefore should be fired for doing her job, for processing the work of the government on behalf of the people in that community. What do we say to that?
Right. And these are good people.
And these are good people. They've done nothing wrong. When we see the immigrant who, you know, has had a family that they've raised here, suddenly now living in the shadows and in fear because their grandparent is threatened. What do we do? So that's where my head is. And so that's my concern to see exactly how we respond in this moment.
Well, I am thrilled. Number one, I'm thrilled that you joined us. And number two, I'm thrilled I got a standing invite to have coffee with you when I'm in D.C. And you have a standing invite to come back when we have that that plan about what's next here. You've been listening to The Rational Revolution. Michael Steele, thank you so, so very much. And my
pleasure,
thoughts
friend.
Are next. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We sang every song that Javi knew.
Welcome back. Oh. Well, that was Michael Steele, and I know we had some connectivity issues, so if you stuck through it, thank you so much, because I mean he's such a brilliant person, and he's one of the good guys. He really is. And he thinks I'm kidding. I'm absolutely not. I'm gonna sit down with him for a cup of coffee in DC. I'm going to do that, because he's I could just listen to his stories for a long, long time. What therapy? And you know what? Hey, how about that for a teaser? I did a teaser, guys. Look at this. Little radio rookie over here. That's what I'm going to talk about. A little bit of this final segment. You know, as we talk so much doom and gloom, and you hear about, the wall of sound and this tornado of excrement. And it's something that's all consuming. It's really hard to stay focused, to stay positive. It's hard out here, people. And, you know, and I take a step back because I recognize and I realize that I do have it so much better than some. You know, I own a business. I have a wonderful wife and incredible children and life is good. And I don't want to make it seem like I am ungrateful for those things, because I'm not. But I recognize how difficult it is. Difficult for us too, you know. And the thing about being one of us, is because we carry this immeasurable burden every day. It's something called empathy. And even though, you know, things are good and okay, we see people that are struggling. And I don't own a house, and you know, so it's like I'm not loaded or anything like that. But life is good. But when our fellow citizens are under threat from tyrants who want to define who they are, who they can love, where they spend their money, what they learn in schools, some people like my brother, they have their very livelihoods threatened. 3 million of our dedicated civil servants have no idea whether or not they have a job tomorrow. We were talking about that with Michael Steele. What a terrifying place to be. And every day we face a reality that we once thought was completely impossible. You know, this week we saw U.S. siding with freaking Russia, really, and declining to condemn the war in Ukraine, which they absolutely started. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the video. I don't know who it was, but it was some one of Donald Trump's minions, and he was testifying before Congress, and they're like, "Hey, will you say that Russia started the war?" And he's like, let me get a drink. You know, see, it's just one of those. It's there, and he's like, "It's not that hard. Did Russia start the war?" You know, it's like their tanks and 150,000 troops marched into Ukraine. Did they start? And he couldn't. It's crazy. And so with everything that's going on, how do you stay sane? And so I wanted to tell a few things that I do. I'm not sane, but you know, hey, if you think I'm close, this is what I do. But I on top of all those things, you know, I do have the stress of, you know, running the business, and that's incredibly stressful. There's 7 families that depend on me not messing up, and it's a very difficult economy to do business in, which I also have to give a shout to my general manager, a mentor, dear friend, Joel, who I'm lucky enough having helped me run the place. And I don't necessarily always make it easy, but he does a good job. And without him, we'd be screwed. But what I've done is... I've discovered I like wine, I've also discovered that I love listening to audiobooks. And so, you know, you sit in bed and listen to a book on tape, not on tape, but you know, it's a great way to disconnect, unwind, learn, and get away from all of this. Because I think, you know, a way to remove yourself from the situation is to expand your field of knowledge. Sometimes that's a burden because you expand the field of knowledge and you learn something that's like, oh crap. Hey, you see something in a history book. Boy, we've seen this before. Stuff that's going on today. But it really is a wonderful way to just get away and learn. I've also had the pleasure of releasing this pent-up pissed offness across the entire state of Wisconsin, thanks to Civic Media. And you can do that. You know, I before I did this, I bought some podcasting equipment. You can do it for under $500 and you can start a show. And I think that if you care and you listen to issues and you learn and you grow, tell people. Because if you want to make things better and you want to reset where we are, as we were talking with Michael Steele about, is, you know, it starts with us. Well, if it starts with us and you want to be part of the fight, get in it. I think the more people that we have talking about this, the better it is. Really, I believe that. And yeah, get out there and talk about it. My son and I have discovered we love to go fishing. We're terrible at it, but it's a really fun time. Yeah. I think I've caught the bottom of the river more than I've caught fish, but you know, to see him get all excited about catching a minnow or whatever the hell we catch, it's great. We love watching racing and basketball and baseball. I love the Red Sox. I guess, you know, we do those things together. And you know what? I guess it's a key word, together. Because, you know, honestly, that's how we make it to the next fight. You could find support groups like my old pal Nick Mortensen here in Green Bay has done. Founded a little group where people get together and concerned and they have a beer and yell and laugh. And you could go to a trivia watering hole, you know, trivia night at a bar, or just be with your family. Find that together. Embrace it and own it. Because when you find it, you know exactly what you are fighting for. And that's the key. When you find that together, you will know exactly what you are fighting for. And as a wise woman once said, when you know what you're fighting for, you'll fight like hell. And nothing will stop you. And when we fight, we win. Find that together. That's my message of the week. My thanks to Chairman, Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele, the one and only. He's a big deal. Go check him out on MSNBC. He's on there all the time. Ton of thanks to Amanda behind the glass, best producer, dealing with a lot of crap. Technical issues and all. And thanks to Civic Media for giving me this opportunity to do this. Hey, we'll see you next week. We got a hell of an episode already next week. So thank you, guys. Be good out there. Yes,
how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.